Welcome to River of Life. It's so good to see you guys this morning. So good to have you back with us. We've got several people that are back since the quarantine, so we're glad to see you guys with us today. We're going to be having the rest of the family join us online. And so, isn't it? I mean, I'm telling you, we were just talking this morning with several people. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad to be back in God's house. It's terrible to have to do this online. Thank God. I'm thankful for the technology, don't get me wrong, but man, there's nothing that will replace coming together and worshiping God and sensing the presence of God together as a group. And so we're just so glad that you're here this morning. I want to encourage you. I just want to encourage everybody, if you're not connected with one of our Connect groups, let me just encourage you. You can do that from the comfort of your own home right now. All the Women's Connect group and the Married Connect group are both meeting on Zoom right now. And the Men's group is meeting on Zoom and in person here at the church on Saturdays at 9 a.m. And so I want to encourage you, get connected. I know that, man, when this quarantine happens, it's so easy to just kind of isolate and be by ourselves. And I don't want to go into all the statistics I've read about depression and, you know, all the things that are going on with people. But God's people don't have to do that. Amen. We can be connected. We can be connected on Zoom, or we can be connected here at the house. And so I want to just thank you for doing that and being here today as well. We want to let you know one announcement for the next week, following week. Any of you who are excited about Jesus and have a desire to be a blessing in the lives of other people. I know many times when we go through difficult times, we seem to look at ourselves and our situations, and that's what takes up most of our time. If you're like me, you have to fight that off, because I don't know if you've got a family, you've got a wife and kids and a job and, you know, all these different things. A lot of times that's what you focus the most on, and we should do that. But how many of you know the Bible tells us that we should love our neighbor as ourselves? And sometimes we have to forget about ourselves and put ourselves aside and allow God to take care of us, so that we can be his hands and feet taking care of other people. This coming Saturday from 12 to 2 p.m., we're going to be right outside in the parking lot, and we're going to be giving away food to the better in this community that are in need. And for us to do that, the more hands that we have, the better that's going to be. And I want to encourage you, this is something have taken our kids. Our kids have been doing this since before they could walk. My wife and I have taken our kids and done outreach and missions and all kinds of things. If you're single, this is great for you. If you're married, this is great for you. Doesn't matter. If you're a person that says, man, I want my life to count. I want to do something this week, this coming week. I want to have an opportunity to do something and be a blessing to somebody else. I want to encourage you, be here on Sunday or Saturday, this coming Saturday at 12 o'clock, and we're going to be setting up, and we're gonna be giving out food and praying for people. So we're gonna need people to hold signs. We're gonna need people to help pack. We're gonna need people to help set up and tear down. So if that sounds like something you and your family want to be a part of, make sure that you do that. And we also want to let the teens know, or anybody else, if you want to show up 30 minutes early to help us set up, that would be great. And I think Miss Tanya is going to be talking to the teens about that this week, and so she'll be talking to you about that in the online Zoom with the teens this week. And so we just want to encourage you with that and give you an opportunity to serve other people. Amen? Sometimes that's all we need to get out of a funk. A lot of times when I'm feeling bad for myself and I'm feeling sad about myself, all I have to do is just pick myself up and start blessing somebody else, and all of a sudden, it's like I just come out of that and I find my purpose again. Amen? This is not even my message, but are you guys catching what I'm saying this morning? That's something that that's free this morning. I'm not even in my message yet. We're not even getting there yet, but I want to just encourage you with that God is doing that. Amen? So we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started this morning. And if you've got your Bibles with you, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And Pastor Crystal and I are going to be tag teaming again this morning. Let me know when we go live, baby, so I can. Are we live now? We are. So we want to welcome you guys as well that are joining us live and spoke about identity. And this is going to be Identity 2. And the title of this message is Out with the Old and In with the New. And so if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And before we get there, I want to set this up and kind of just share something in my life and give you kind of some background on this. And then we're going to be receiving communion at the end of this as well. Hopefully you got your communion cup when you came in. If you did, just hold on to that. And at the end, we're going to be worshiping God together and we're going to be receiving communion together. How many of you have ever done something and you've done a job so long, or you've had a position so long, that it actually became your identity? and that like you just didn't know what to do after you didn't do that for so long. And for years in Jacksonville, River of Life in Jacksonville, I started out as an usher, and then I became an usher team captain. And for years, everybody knew me as one of the head ushers at the church. And that was one of the things that I loved to do. I loved to serve the people when people came in, help them to find a seat. I got to pray for people. I learned so many things. I learned to pray for people by standing behind them and listening to my pastor pray. A lot of people say, hey, where did you learn? I was up there listening, and I wasn't just up there standing behind people, but I'm leaning in, listening, like, okay, what's going on? And I'm watching how they minister, and I'm watching how they move, and I'm learning all these things. And my wife and I go to Bible school, and we go to Bible school, and we come back to River of Life. I thought, okay, I'm going to go back and be an usher again, because that's what I love to do. And as soon as we got back, I felt the Lord tell me, you're not an usher anymore. And I was like, God, what are you talking about? You know, I want to, that's what I do, that's me. And so everybody knows I'm an usher. And I remember having this conversation with God, like, if I just sat down, what are people going to think? They're going to think, man, he's supposed to be doing stuff. And I remember the Lord just dealing with me, and I had no idea what it was that he was calling me into. I just knew that that season or that identity of being an usher was over in my life. And I'm going to be honest with you, it was a little bit hard, because I remember sitting down, and I remember I would see everything, and I would see what the ushers weren't doing, and in my mind I'm thinking, now see, if I was up here, I'd be taking care of that, God. And I'm like, I'm watching for security and all these things, and the Lord was just dealing with me. He's like, no, that's not what I have for you anymore. I've got something new that I want you to walk into. And I had to step out of the old and step into the new in order to walk in what God was calling me to do. At that time, I had no idea that I would be a pastor. That was not on my radar at that time in our life. We were looking to do other things, but God knew what he was calling us into. And so I had to let go of who I was to step into the new that God had for me. Now, in 1 Peter, Peter was writing to the believers that were spread out all over modern-day Turkey because of persecution. These guys had been together, and all of a sudden persecution rang out against the church, and these believers had to scatter all over the field because they were staying in Jerusalem even after God told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. They liked the church. They liked to stay with their believers. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's a blessing to be with like-minded people. It's a blessing to be in company with those that love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. But if the world is going to hear the good news, somebody has to be the one that would break things open. And that's what began to happen. And so Peter is talking to the churches that are spread out, and they were being persecuted. And what he was doing in this first chapter of 1 Peter 2, that first chapter and second chapter, is he's reminding them of who they are. In other words, he's saying, don't forget who you are. Don't forget your identity. So I want to look at this real quick. 1 Peter 2:9, I'm going to read it for you out of the New King James Version. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you is marvelous. Claim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Is there anybody here, light? Anybody here that has been called out of the darkness into his marvelous light? Anybody here has experienced that in your life? You know what I'm talking about. That word marvelous is exactly what I would say. It is marvelous to come out of the darkness and into the light. It is marvelous to come out of this old way of living and old way of thinking and step into a newness of life in Christ. I want you to look at verse 9. It says, you are chosen by God. Listen to that word this morning. If you're a believer in Christ and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are chosen by God. You are a chosen generation. In other words, God meant for you to be in this generation. You are chosen, just like the Bible said for Esther, for such a time as this. It's no accident that you are where you are today. God chose you to be where you are, and he chose you to be doing what you're doing, and you are not an accident. You are chosen. You're a chosen generation. Now, we can accept that, but look at this second thing. You're a royal priesthood. Did you know what the Word of God says about you? That you're royalty. Think about that for just a second. How many of us identify as royalty? When you think about your life and you think about yourself, do you think, man, I am the royalty of God? God has chosen me. He's put me on this earth at this time. He's called me out of the darkness and into the light because he has something for me to do. In other words, I am the son or the daughter, not of any king, not of any Lord, but I'm a son or a daughter of the Most High King and the Most High Lord. Think about that for a moment. That's who you are in Christ. So let that identity begin to sink down in you this morning. We're going to stay on this topic for a while because I believe that and impregnate in the minds of believers today who you are in Christ. You're a royal priesthood today. You're a royal priesthood. You've got to get a hold of that this morning. That's good news today. You're not just anybody. What does it say? You're a holy nation. You're a holy nation. God has called us of sin to walk in the light of His coming, the light of God, the light of Jesus Christ shining down upon us in today's time. How many of you know what I'm talking about today? It's an amazing thing. Now I want you to think about this. According to this one verse, you are chosen, you are royal, and you are holy. Isn't that amazing? God calls you holy, and He calls me holy. Somebody that if you knew my past, you would know that that would not be a word you would describe me, but I'm not holy because of what I've done. I'm holy because of my faith and what Jesus Christ has done. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and I've been cleansed from my sin, just like all believers have. And what we have to learn to do, see, this is what many of us do. We still identify with the old us. We still identify. Last week I talked to you about people called me Little James because I was so shorter than my dad, and my dad was Big James. And now I'm like 3 or 4 inches taller than my dad, and when I go back home, people still want to call me Little James. And I'm not Little James anymore. I hadn't been Little James since I was 16. By the time I turned 16, my dad became Little James in stature. You understand what I'm saying? But people still look at me that way. But I have the choice of whether I'm going to look at myself that way or I'm going to realize, no, there's some things that have changed in my life since those times. And some of you are still carrying around the old identity, the old you. And God is saying, today is the day for you to rise up and say, no, that's been put down by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I'm a holy nation. I'm a royal priesthood. I am who God says that I am. And I want to encourage you this morning. That's what God wants us to do. He's called you out of the darkness and into His marvelous light. What does that mean? You used to walk in darkness. You don't do that anymore. You stay away from dark stuff. How many of you know that? How many of you have ever had like put on a white shirt or white pants and you are very careful about what you do? I don't know about you, but I don't wear white pants, but I do wear white shirts sometimes, all right? And when I have a white shirt on, I walk different. I pay attention to what's going on. Why? Because I know if somebody touches me and they get something nasty on me, you're going to be able to see that right away. When I'm wearing brown like this, you can rub mud on me and you won't be able to tell, right? Nobody would know if I wore this out fishing yesterday, unless you got close enough to smell me, right? But you guys understand what I'm saying. When you get washed by the blood of the Lamb and when Jesus Christ takes over in your life and you receive those righteous robes that only come from Him, you walk a little bit different. You think a little bit different. You say, listen, you can't get close to me from me. I've got to keep you over there because I can't allow that to get to me. I've got a new identity in Christ Jesus. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is probably my life verse. This is probably my favorite verse in the whole Bible. If you don't have this memorized, I encourage you to go home tonight and memorize this verse. It's one of the most powerful verses, and it speaks of what happens in the life of a believer when they come out of the darkness and come into the light. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So what does that mean? In Christ, you are completely new. In Christ, old dark things have passed away and all things are new. Your identity is new now. What do we see? If you look through the Bible, what you begin to see is in Christ, thieves become generous. Who else can make a thief a generous man except Jesus? I mean, who else can do that? Only Jesus can do that. You look at the life of Zacchaeus and you'll see what I'm talking about. In Christ, liars become truth tellers. How many of you have experienced that and seen that in your own life? There are people that will lie like crazy, and I used to be one of them until I came to know Jesus Christ. And when He came into my life and washed that out of my life, all of a sudden, anytime a lie would come out of my mouth, it would just be horrible to me. And I would go tell the truth immediately. You don't have to tell the truth on yourself except a couple of times, and you'll quit doing that. I guarantee you, when Jesus comes into your life And immediately you can still lie, but when you do, the Holy Spirit is right there to say, what you just said is a lie. And I'm telling you, when I first got saved, the Holy Spirit would speak that in my ear, and I would stop sometimes and say, I'm lying to you right now. I'm telling a lie. Please forgive me. God, please forgive me. And I only had to do that about two or three times, and guess what happened? I stopped lying on purpose. Now, I may accidentally lie, but I'm not going to lie to you on purpose anymore. And it's not because of me. It's because of the power of God working in my life. See, in Christ, I used to be a liar, but now I love the truth. I used to be a person that would cover things up, but now I like to bring things to my Father because I know He's not standing there waiting to destroy me, but He's there wanting to pick me up and wash me off and say, son, I'm giving you power to walk in newness of life, not to keep doing those things. It's a completely different way. In Christ, adulterers become loyal. In Christ, haters become lovers. In Christ, wounded people who hold unforgiveness become strong and are able to forgive those who have done them wrong. Only Jesus Christ can do that from a pure heart. And in Christ, you would say amen to that. That's what Jesus does for us. Listen, you're a new creation in Christ if you're in Christ. Amen? That's good news for those who are in Christ today. Romans 6:4, I'm going to share with you this, and then I'm going to have Pastor Crystal come up and share. Romans 6:4 in the New King James Version says this, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Go ahead and come, Pastor Crystal. We were buried with Jesus through our baptism. If you've been baptized today, the reason you're baptized, more is happening than you just getting wet. A lot of people, if you're releasing your faith and you understand what you're doing, basically what you're doing is you're being buried with Christ. Why? So you can rise up and walk in newness of life. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead to walk in newness of life, so are we. And we're given a new identity when we are raised from the dead to walk in newness of life. And she's going to share a little bit this morning as well about that.
Amen. So while he was preaching, my mind just started working. You know how that works sometimes? Like you don't think of something until you're right in the middle of it. And I just think, you know, we're getting ready to step in. Miriam is only in the house for another 2 years, maybe, at least as like a non-adult. And I just think of the different seasons of life in the natural that we have. Maybe we go from high school to college and then college to singlehood and then married and then children and then, you know, just different seasons of life and how we cannot allow ourselves to identify necessarily. I cannot be a mom who identifies myself only as a mom because that's all I will ever be. And I'm here to tell you, it's an awesome thing to be a mom. I love to be a mother. And now I'm a grandmother, which is even better. It's so amazing to be a grandmother. I can't tell you. But let me just tell you, if I only identify with that, I am limiting not only myself and the things that God has put in me, but I am limiting God. I am saying, no, God, this is all that I am. And I think sometimes we can err on that. Oh, I just work here and that's who I am. Or, oh, I'm just the wife of so-and-so or the husband of so-and-so or the son or the daughter. You understand where I'm going with this? If we continue to allow ourselves to identify with those seasons of our life, then what we're really saying to God is, yes, you've created me for more, but this is all that I'm saying I am. And I don't want to do that. I know God has more. I know if I would only begin to identify myself with that, I would not be here in front of you today. Because honestly, I was scared to death to speak in front of people. I even took a public speaking class in college, and it was just like terrifying to have to get up and give this speech. I think I got maybe like a C in that class, if that just tells you how terrified I was. And I didn't get a C because I'm not very smart. I got it because I was just scared. Really, that was just it. But I'm just here to tell you that if you limit yourself to identifying what season and you're in, then you're limiting God. I can't say, God, right now I'm just a mom of a high schooler and a grandma and my other two kids, a college mom and a mom and of an adult who has a family. No, I'm saying, God, yes, this is where I am, but this is not who I am. It's just part of who I am. But you have called me to do more. You have said, go to the nations. You have said, go and do this and do that. And if I don't grab a hold of that, I'm going to be stuck exactly where I am. And that's not where God. Can I be happy? I can be sort of happy. I won't experience the fullness of joy that God has for me until I begin to step into the fullness of what He has for me. Does that make sense? That's what we need to do today. We need to begin to walk in the fullness of God. That was not in my note talking about this. You go. I want to talk about Paul. So when we were talking about this, I was just thinking about Paul and change. So the story in the Bible is just so straightforward, and you can just see a change. So let me give you just a preview of Paul. So he comes into the Bible for the first time in Acts 7:58. Acts chapter 7:58, this is where we first see Paul, and he's actually called Saul. He's not called Paul until later on in the Bible. I think around chapter 13 is when they actually begin to say Saul, also known as Paul. So when I say Saul, I'm not talking about King Saul, I'm talking about Paul. And here in Acts chapter 7, verse 58, it says, "And they dragged him," who is Stephen. So if you want to read about the story of Stephen, I would encourage you to read the previous chapters and learn about Stephen. For time's sake, I can't go into it. But Stephen was a preacher of the gospel. He would go around telling people about Jesus Christ. And what happened was the Jewish leaders rose up against him and told him what he was doing was wrong. They grabbed him, they brought him in the center of town, and they were getting ready to stone him. And so here in verse 58 of chapter 7, it says, "And they dragged him," who is Stephen, "out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul," who is Paul. Okay, so this is the first time we see Paul. This is the first experience we ever hear about Paul. He is having the coats of the Jewish leaders thrown at his feet so they can kill Stephen for preaching Jesus Christ. And I feel like maybe this rose something within Paul, because then again, if we go to Acts chapter 9, we see that this verse tells us then Paul becomes eager to kill the Lord's followers. And it actually says that in verse 9. Chapter 9, verse 1, "Meanwhile, Saul was uttering the threat with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest," and it goes on to say some other things, but I just want us to kind of concentrate right there. So Paul was eager to kill the Lord's followers. Wow, that's just, we'll just leave that there because that's just insane to me. But that's how he started off his journey. He was willing to do these things. And so what we see is he goes to the priest, he wants them to write letters to him, giving him permission to go into all the areas and begin to kill the Lord's followers, is exactly what he wanted to do. And so then we skip to verse 4 through 6 in chapter 9. "And on his way back from visiting Paul," in these letters, this is what happened. It says, "He fell to the ground," who is Paul, "and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting me.' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. And the voice replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go in the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" So here we see Paul's first meeting with Jesus Christ. And what happens? He is blinded. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that my first meeting with Jesus Christ was not blinding. In fact, I can tell you exactly what happened. There was a lot of stuff going on in my life. I was in a very bad place. I was a single mom of a little boy, and it was just a bad time. And River of Life Church was still in a small little tiny storefront, pretty much like this in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And I remember walking through the doors. I can't even tell you who was greeting. Miss Janice Baldwin and Miss Betty Boney, which coincidentally, Miss Betty Boney was my high school homeroom teacher and computer teacher. So that's just kind of cool how God gives a familiar face sometimes when you walk into something and you're already nervous. And I'm just going to be honest with you. When I walked in, I just automatically started crying. I had no clue because I was not raised to know about the Holy Spirit and how he works. And I just could not stop crying. I couldn't explain it. And at that time, I was not saved. So there were certain words coming out of my mouth that were not pleasant, I'm sure, to some. But thank God for the patience and grace of church people who accept you when you come in and know exactly where you are. Y'all know what I'm saying? And if they would have treated me any other way, I might not be standing here before you saved. You know, it might have completely turned me off from God. So there's a free tip for everybody. You know, let's bring people in and love on them, because where they are is not where God wants them to be. But he can use us to help them move to where they need to be. Amen. So I just remember crying through the whole service. That was kind of like my first. And here I am. So that's just a small part of my testimony. But you understand what I'm saying. We all have a first experience with God. But Paul's was getting knocked off of his horse and blinded. And he goes on to say in chapter 9 how he spoke to one of the believers there in the city where he was, Ananias. And he said, Ananias, go to this street, go to this address, and do this. That's exactly what he told Ananias. Ananias went, he found Paul, he grabbed him, he laid hands on him, and scales fell from Paul's eyes. And you know what? I was just thinking, wow, God took the blinders off of Paul's eyes, where he was like, I want to go and kill the followers of the Lord. God is removing that lie from him. He's removing that, what has blinded him, and now Paul is getting ready to see, no, God wants me to go and preach the gospel. And we know that God used Paul in so many awesome ways. I don't have time to go into it, but you can see the transformation from dark to light, from wanting to kill the believers to preaching the gospel everywhere he goes, getting whipped, getting stoned, getting beat up, getting almost killed, getting imprisoned, getting bit by snakes. The Pastor James talked about that last week in his sermon, how he was doing the fire after a shipwreck and a snake came and bit him, and how God used that because he did not die because it was a poisonous snake, and he was actually able to go on that island and preach the gospel and see people get healed. And you know, I want to see everyone's life be transformed like Paul. I want to see us brought from here to here into the light, going full ahead for God, not holding anything back, just like we sang today, withholding nothing. I given it all to God and seeing what he's going to use me, and not even caring. You know, sometimes we can identify with what other people think. And I think sometimes as believers, we can even fall in that. How do I look today? Is my hair good? Or going and say, well, I wish I could speak like that, or I wish I could do that or serve like that. But I want you to know that you can do what God has called you to do. You are special. He has something special for you. And we all need to rise up and stop comparing ourselves even to each other and begin walking in what God is calling us to do. That's what his word says. And so Paul rose up. His blinders fell off, and he began to preach the gospel. You know, he became one of the biggest, persecutors of Christians, and he identified with that. But then when God touched his life, he became one of the biggest preachers of the gospel, one of the biggest preachers of Jesus Christ. And I do love to use Paul because, like I said, it's so evident, it's so clear. You can see before and after. You can see the transformation itself. He began to see himself in a new way. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to refresh myself and begin to see myself in a new way. I can get comfortable being here, being this kind of person, like maybe a children's church person or this and that. And God said, that is good, yes, but you are more than that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You are more than that. You know, he'd be our own biggest critic. Everybody's heard that. And I think we can be our biggest limiter. We can limit our own selves because we begin to have thoughts in our mind, and it begins to limit even how we speak, how we see ourselves. You know, sometimes we just really need to get up in the morning and look at ourselves and say, you are a child of God. You are powerful. He has called you to heal. He has called you to preach the gospel wherever you go and everything that you do. And sometimes, you know, even like David did, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Amen. Paul, I just think about this too when I think about the scales that were on his eyes. You know, I think he was blinded, so he literally was in darkness. He could not see anything. And God, in one instant, as Ananias laid his hands on him and prayed for him, those scales fell off, and instantly he came into the light. And instantly his whole life turned around, and he became Paul, the preacher of the gospel, Paul the apostle. I mean, how awesome is that? God is patient and faithful to equip us and help us walk out our identity in him. Amen. He is so patient with us, and I'm so glad that he is. Because like I said in the beginning, when I walked into that church, it took many years until I really surrendered my entire life to God, maybe like 3 or 4 years, but God did not give up on me. People kept praying for me, and I'm like I said, I'm here today because God is so faithful and patient to equip us to help us walk out our destiny. And I want to encourage you, maybe God has equipped you to help somebody else walk out their destiny. If you're praying for someone, if you're believing for someone's salvation, if you're believing to see someone go to the next level in God, I want to encourage you, keep doing it, because I am standing here in front of you because there were people praying for me. And I know I mentioned it before, but I just looked at Frankie, and, you know, his mom was one of the biggest advocates for me. No matter what crazy was going on in my life, I could go to Frankie's mom and just talk to her, and she would just help guide me right back. And there were many other women in the church who came alongside of me that I was able to be transparent in front of, and they wouldn't judge me for whatever was going on in my life, but they helped guide me and put me on the right track and say, no, this is what God says. This is who you are. And it just caused growth in me so much. And that's who I identify with now. I identify as a grandma, praise the Lord. But I also identify not only as a wife, you know, there was a time where I was a substitute teacher. So yes, I identified that because I loved my kids. I loved this certain group of kids that I was always with, but that didn't limit me because I was more than that. You know, when I was substitute teaching, I was not ashamed. I was afraid sometimes, but I was not ashamed to kind of sneak and say, hey, can I pray for you? Preach, you know, tell them about God. Tell them about their love. And, you know, that's what God is calling us to do. Even in fear and trembling, we must move forward. We must tell people about God because there are people everywhere that need to hear that He is a God of love, and He is a God of joy, and He is a God of hope in Jesus' name. And that's who we are. That's who God identifies us as. Amen. I want to quote this example one more time of Lisa Bevere, you know, because it's just so profound to me. You become dangerous to the enemy when you become fully awake to God. And this morning, I'm going to say that every week until this series is over. And I have it, and I just look at it every now and then. We become dangerous to the enemy when we become fully awake in God. And some of us are limiting and are limited because we don't know who fully we are in God yet. But God is on the move. He is doing things. He is causing us to realize who we are in God. He is waking His church up. He is shaking us. Come on, He is doing something. And as we begin to wake up, you know, the enemy is reacting. We don't have to react because we know the victory is already won. We just have to go forward. We're not reacting, we're acting. The enemy is reacting. And when we know who we are in God, we, as the church, become dangerous to the enemy. And I want to encourage you this morning, you, Christian, you, son and daughter of the Most High God, are dangerous to the enemy this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Baby, you're not just a grandma, you're a Holy Ghost grandma. Man, I tell you what. Well, I think I had some other notes, but I don't think we're going to go on that. I want to just kind of wrap this up, and we're gonna receive communion this morning together. But I tell you, when she was sharing what she was sharing, I began to think about the Apostle Paul when he was Saul. And, you know, he really did come from the darkness to the light. If you think of, he was blinded, and then he went from darkness to the light. And all of us that are here today in Christ have experienced that in our lives. And I was thinking about the way Paul describes himself in the New Testament in many of his letters. In one of his letters, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. How many of you have read that before? Where Paul says, listen, I'm the chief of sinners. And then a little bit further down in his life, he says this about himself. I'm an apostle chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see the change in his mindset? Do you see the change where he used to identify with Saul and to grow in his faith? And as he began to grow in his relationship with God, all of a sudden he says, no, now I'm an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ. I am what I am because of who He is. And I want to just encourage you today. You heard her testimony and you heard what God has done in her life. And we've seen in the scriptures what God says about to be encouraged in the Word of God, to allow God to define who you are, to allow God to speak into who you are. See, either one of three things are going to happen. Either you're going to identify yourself, you're going to define who you are. A lot of people live that way. They define who they are. Or the enemy is going to define who you are. or God is going to define who you are. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And all of us have voices that are speaking to us that try to put a label on us. Maybe some of us here today have a label because of something we've done in our past, and we're holding on to that label. Can you imagine what Paul must have felt like the first time he stood up in the church to preach and there were people in the church that he had tried to kill? Did you know that had to have happened in Jerusalem? He was the one that people were afraid of, and he was the one that was going around breathing threats, the Bible says, and had the authority to drag people in. And I couldn't imagine. I mean, I did some bad things in my life, but I wasn't trying to kill Christians, I can tell you that. You know. And so just imagine if you were doing that, and all of a sudden now your life has changed, and now you no longer identify with who you were. Now you identify with who Jesus has made you to be. But there are people from your past that you meet, and you have to live in a different way, and you can't allow them to define who you are. You can't allow those people to say, no, but yeah, you did this. Well, yeah, I did do that, but I don't identify by that anymore. What I identify is the cross of Jesus Christ. I identify with what Christ has done for me and what Christ is doing in me. And I want to encourage you today, maybe you're in that boat, and maybe even in your mind you're having a struggle and you're saying, God, I want to identify as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but man, that's hard because I remember what I did. I remember the things that have happened in my past, and I remember what people have called me, and I remember the labels that have been put on me. And I want to tell you something that happened to me. It was a very powerful thing, and this is just coming to me as we're sharing this morning. When I was in Bible school, I remember there was a traveling pastor that was there, and I, at that time in my life, I was saved for maybe about 4 or 5 years, and like Pastor Crystal said, I've done some things in my past that I'm absolutely not proud of, like many of you have, like all of you have. And I remember every time I would begin to rise up and begin to do things for God, the devil would just remind me of those things all the time. And I don't know about you, but I would even get attacked in my mind and have mental pictures of things that I had done. Has anybody ever experienced that before? And you try to pray, and then all you see is this DVD. It's like on, and it's like every time I would rise up and begin, things you've ever done just keep cycling back through. And it's like every time I would rise up and begin to, this pastor was saying for God, the devil would use that to just beat me down. And I remember one time this pastor was saying, maybe some of you are like that, kind of what I'm preaching right now. And I was thinking, yeah, that's me. I'm the guy you're talking about right here. And he said, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you not to run from that image. Because what I would try to do is every time that would come, I'd be like, you know, I'm not thinking about that. Get out of my head, get out of my head. And I would try every way I could to get that image out of my mind. And he would say, listen, don't even try to get the image. Let the image come. Embrace it. And then this is what I want you to do. I want you to see the blood of Jesus just wash. The enemy wants you to see the image. And then I want you to just see the blood of Jesus come down. And every time the enemy tries to attack you with that mental thought, just allow the blood of Jesus to cover that image and watch what happens. And I'm telling you, I began to do that. And the devil quit reminding me of what I had done, because every time he did, I just saw what Jesus had done in my life. And I want to challenge some of you today. You need to learn to do that. You need to begin to just embrace what that is. And you don't try to lie about it. And you don't try to say, no, I didn't do that. How many of you have seen a little kid and you know they've done something wrong? They were the only ones there. And you say, hey, you did that. No, wasn't me. No, wasn't me. I've done that so many times, and every one of my kids have. They draw with a crayon behind the wall. And it's right at their level. It's in their room, behind their wall, behind their door. And it's about this high, and it's your favorite color. And I walk in there and close the door, and you're going to tell me that wasn't you. I guess some little gnome just snuck in here and stole your crayon and colored that on the wall. And they will deny it and deny it and deny it. And that's what we try to do as adults. We just try to deny it. And we just try to push it away, but we still feel the shame and we still feel the guilt of it. But here's the good news, church, that when Jesus Christ came and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, you don't have to deny who you were. You can receive forgiveness and walk in newness of life. And that's what God is calling us into today. Not to hide from who we used to be. See, the worst things about you now become the greatest parts of your testimony as you get healed from those things and you're able to share those with no shame whatsoever. Why? Because you see the blood of Jesus cover those. And you know today you are righteous not because of what you've done, but all because of what he has done. And thank God today for the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been washed. We have been sanctified. We are been set apart. And what does the Bible call us? What does it say right here? We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. What? That we may proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. I want to encourage you right where you're sitting, just begin to let those praises ring to God and begin to thank Him with your own mouth right now. And we thank You and we glorify You, God, that we don't have to run from our past. We don't have to hide from those things. But Lord, we can praise You in the midst of those because of what You've done on the cross. Oh God, we thank You today. We thank You today. We thank You today. Edgar, you can go ahead and play that today, this morning. Father, we thank You for the blood. We thank You for the blood. We're going to get ready to receive communion. Lord, we thank You today and we remember what You've done for us. If you've got your communion elements, you want to just take them all, grab those. You can go ahead and grab those. And I want to just take a moment right now and let's just do that. We're going to be receiving communion. And this is what I want you to do. We're going to do something powerful today that's going to put the devil in his place. Now I want to encourage you today. I want to pray for you and then I want to give you time just to do this on your own. What I want you to do is we're going to pray and we're going to thank God for His body that was broken and His blood that was shed for us. What I want you to do as you receive communion today, I want you to ask God, what is it in my life that I'm identifying with that's not of You? Maybe you already know what it is. Maybe He's already spoken to you. Maybe it's a mental image of something that you've done in the past. Maybe it's something that the devil is bringing shame into your life. And did you know the good news today is that you can repent and you can just do something very simple. Repentance means to turn from. It means to turn your heart away from something towards God. That's all it is. It's not something amazing. It's just literally I'm going in this direction and I say, God, I'm not going that way anymore. I'm not thinking that way anymore. By the power of Jesus, I turn from that and I turn to You. You can do that today. The power of Jesus is being released right now so that we can do that. The Word of God says where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them. And I'm telling you, what Jesus wants more than anything today is to cleanse you, is to bring you into a great relationship with Him, is to destroy those mental images and those things that hold you down, and to help you leave that old identity in the past and rise up, like Romans chapter 6, 4 says, and walk in newness of life. Today is the day that we can leave the old behind and we can walk. And this time it's going to be different. How many of you know what I'm talking about? This time I'm not going back to that. This time I'm not going to do that because I got a new verse that Pastor talked about or I got a touch from the Lord today. No, it's not any of those things. What it is it's the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's what He's already accomplished. It's what He's already done. It's finished, He said. It's finished. It's finished. All we have to do now is live in the victory. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank You for the blood and we thank You for Your body that was broken. Lord, I ask You today that as we eat and drink, that we would examine our hearts before and we would eat and drink and thank You for it, God. We would thank You for new identity in Christ. We would thank You for what You've done in us, God. Lord, we love You for it. We thank You for it. We give You praise for it. Now, right there where you are, just spend some moments with God. If you need to repent, repent. If you need to see that blood, if you need to receive, like see those images, then you can eat and drink. That blood washed down. Just go ahead and do that right now. And then you can eat and drink when you're ready this morning.
Hallelujah. Edgar, just keep that music going if you don't mind. I just really felt like, you know, since we're talking about identity, and maybe some of you just feel stuck and you don't know what to do. You know, we want you to come up front. We want to pray for you, like, now. Maybe just some of you know what it is, but you're just not quite sure how to step out and do it. Come on up front. We want to pray for you because it's by prayer. And if you're not comfortable with us praying for you, like, in your face, just stand back and we'll pray for you from afar. Because, you know, I understand we all have different comfort levels. But we will in the tabernacle. It fell on the altar. That's where the presence of the Lord, that's where change happens. Where his presence is, that's where I want to be. And so I want you to come up front. And like I said, if you don't want us to pray for you in your face, feel free to stand back a little bit. But I know that there are people here, and I don't want you to allow the enemy to keep you back from what maybe in your job and you're having some difficulty and you're not sure. I'm a Christian, but I'm not sure how to share. Whatever your situation is, I just want, if you want to come up front, we would like to pray for you. Falling to grace, I'm done with the hiding.
grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire, standing next to me. There was a leader in the waters, holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden where another. All my debt left for dead beneath the water. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me?
Hallelujah. Well, guys, won't you just go ahead and stand up on your feet this morning? It's been so good to be in the presence of God with you guys this morning. Thank you so much for coming. We want to encourage you to grab one of those packs of Take Five when you go out, and you can hand those out this week and encourage somebody. I'm telling you now, more than ever, people need to be in the house of God. Amen. And so we've got some invitations for you if you want to grab some of those and invite some people to come. Like I said, on Saturday, we're going to be here. We'll be here at 11:30 setting up. We're going to be blessing the community with groceries and prayer. If you can be a part of that, let us know and show up for that. We love you guys. I want to pray and bless you. And then if you have any prayer requests, you can go ahead and come down front after the service. I know sometimes people don't want to come down when during that time, but if you need prayer for anything, please don't leave without letting us pray with you and believe God for you. We believe God that He wants to bless us and touch us today. Amen. So go ahead and just lift up your hands to the Lord today. Father, we love you. We thank you. We give you praise and glory for everything that you're doing in our life. We thank you, Father, for victory this week in every life. Lord, we thank you for who you've made us in Christ. We thank you that we can lay those old things aside and we can walk in newness of life. And God, we give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. And I forgot as